From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. Thanks for being with us all week long. We have Geraldo standing by and Carlos Jimenez of Florida, House Armed Services Committee, Homeland Security, man, in China Select Committee. Does he have his hands full? And did he see some very interesting hearings this week? And this week, of course, today, Mayor Adams, Mayor Bass, Lori Lightfoot, what a crew, and new Mayor Turner, Mayor Turner of Houston. They hold a Big Four moderated panel discussion outside Adams, helped to potentially ruin every major city. Although I think that Turner's done a pretty good job with the homeless situation in Houston. At 11 o'clock, Governor DeSantis gives a keynote speech at the Heritage Foundation. Some of the things going on today. But for now, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Again, conflict in the Indo-Pacific region is not inevitable. But we cannot rest on our past accomplishments to secure a future peace. We don't have the luxury of time.
Admiral Aquino, speaking out yesterday at a hearing, he wants $9.8 billion to bulk up our Southeast China presence, the China threat. You see it, we feel it. Biden's denial, if he doesn't sober up quick, and the free world, the future of the free world's in the balance.
Number two. President Biden has long said it is his intention to run, and CBS News has now learned that he could make it official as early as this coming Tuesday. That's exactly 4 years since the president jumped into the race in 2020.
All right, here you go. Joe is a go. It's being reported that on Tuesday, 80-year-old Joe Biden will officially declare he's running for another 4 years in the White House. Why now? What's really happening behind the scenes? We'll take a deep dive. While the Republican field grows and intrigue builds with the DeSantis announcement about a week away, perhaps.
Number one.
According to a letter from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
Heat on Biden. That, of course, is Catherine Herridge. Could we be at the boiling point for the Biden family as we see the intricate plan to save Joe in 2020, spike the laptop, and win an election? And we're seeing the plan gradually unwrap before our eyes. Even if the consequences are delayed and the truth is exposed, that will be enough for me. I'm not worried about Hunter Biden going to jail. I could not care less about his legal future or his financial future. I want to know what he was up to. And most of all, I want to know why Mike Morell was called by Antony Blinken to have 50 other intel experts with very good reputations put it all on the line to sign off on something, for the most part, they didn't even see. And nobody took the time, as far as I know, to call up the nominee himself, President Biden, say, hey, before I sign this paper, is this your son's laptop? Geraldo Rivera joins us right now. Geraldo, would you have signed that form?
I don't know if I could have withstood the pressure, Brian. When you think about, the entire Democratic establishment coming down on you, including the presidential nominee.
So what?
They obviously didn't have the spine to stand up, and maybe they thought it was just politics, that it didn't really count. I don't know, but it is a grave embarrassment. I think it may be the worst thing that happens to Hunter Biden, however. 5 years and counting, and the guy's still not indicted for anything. So I think that Hunter may skate and just become a prominent artist, until he pulls up the wagon and we get some more vivid videos of him.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Did you ever have a huge tax debt and have someone write you a $2 million check and then put you up in their guest house?
I just paid a huge tax debt, and I didn't get any help from anybody.
I mean, that's
when
what
you make the money, you got to pay the taxes.
Well, I mean, we're hearing about these millions of dollars. We're seeing the bank records. Forget about what people say. We're seeing the bank records. We don't know where the money is. And yet we know that Hunter Biden doesn't have any of it. and he has to live in somebody else's house. And now I think he's living at the White House because I believe, my humble opinion, I believe he knows the president can't get around. When they start talking about this whistleblower, what I find most intriguing is that he has evidence, receipts, he says, that shows that people are covering up this investigation, thwarting it, stopping it from going forward. And it, all eyes, and it's confirmed, leads towards the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. Now, I don't know if Merrick Garland can plausibly say, I thought the investigation was just moving along, when we all know it doesn't take 5 years to investigate a hooker-loving crack addict with the laptop of evidence.
You know, I am shocked that there has been zero progress. Nada has happened to Hunter Biden substantively. He's not charged with anything. And what really baffles me, Brian, because I do believe that this is, sweetheart treatment to the nth degree, what surprises me is remember that the Delaware U.S. attorney is a Trump appointee, and that predates, the Biden presidency. So what in the world have the various authorities, the prosecutors, been doing when it comes to Hunter Biden? Is it possible, Brian, that there is no there, that there's no money laundering, that there's no illegal lobbying, that there's no tax crime? Because it is 5 years. He is a whoremongering, drug-addled, person of low moral repute who ends up with his brother's widow.
So exonerate him. Doesn't take 5 years to exonerate somebody.
He's not exonerated, though. He's neither exonerated nor accused, and 5 years and counting. So to me, this is a real dilemma, Brian.
Well, a couple of things on this. I think that with these bank records out there and this whistleblower about to emerge and saying that people are suppressing the investigation, that seems to be the accusation, and Hunter Biden's attorneys ready to pounce, I think this is where the rubber hits the road. They say there's a quirk in the law. Say, due to a quirk in the federal law, this whistleblower needs congressional approval to more fully describe his allegations to his own lawyers, which he wants to do before testifying to lawmakers. I believe has something to do with the tax law.
You know, quirks aside, Brian, I mean, there is a situation where you have to put up or shut up. What is it exactly that you think Hunter Biden did? Whistleblowers, to me, are very, very squishy. It's one thing to go before a friendly congressman who is trying to make the target of the investigation look bad than it is to go to a U.S. attorney and say, under oath, okay, I have this evidence. Let's prosecute this person to convict them beyond a reasonable doubt. It just, a whistleblower to me is just show.
So
I don't,
really?
I
think
really,
he's doing things the right way instead of doing an Eric Snowden and going to Russia.
If you've got something, go to the prosecutor, not to the Congress.
Oh, I'd want some protection. I mean, you look at what's happened with Matt Taibbi. Matt Taibbi comes
terrible.
Forward.
Now the
IRS is knocking at his door and some lawmaker wants to put him in jail. I want my back watched. I have a 20-year career in. I don't want some Democrat stabbing me in the back and destroying my career.
Well,
I want you to hear what his lawyer said. Mark Lytle, cut three.
You know, it's really unfortunate that statement was made. Mr. Clark made that statement. My client wrestled with whether or not to come forward. He had a lot of sleepless nights about coming forward with this. At the end of the day, he decided that he could not live with himself if he stayed quiet and said nothing. So he's coming forward, but he knows that he's going to be attacked. And, you know, really, attacks like this are kind of what he was worried about. But he wants to come forward, tell the truth. He's instructed us to reach out to both Democrats and Republicans on the Hill and let those statements that if they want to hear him and have him come in to the Hill and talk to him, let those statements rest where they are.
Interesting.
Well, like I said, Brian, we're from an area of the country. You know, we both were raised in, the South Shore of Long Island, no nonsense, hardworking parents, no BS. I just think that if you got something on an accused, then you go to the authorities and you try to, you know, let them know that a crime has been committed or tell them what you know, what you saw. I just think we're going to have a circus here. You could have a YouTube channel with Hunter Biden's pornography on it. It's pornographic. You're only as happy as your unhappiest child. Every parent knows that. In this case, you have a son who's been reckless, has endangered your status. I'm talking about the president's status, and undermined his aura. And now he seems, and I think you hit it on the nail on the head, Brian, when you said that the more feeble and disabled the president becomes, the more prominent Hunter's role
everywhere.
As his physical prop is going to be. I think that, as in Ireland, you're going to look at President Biden and you're going to, widen your gaze, and there's going to be Hunter Biden. He's going to attach himself to his dad in a very public way. And, I just think that the...
But okay.
It's a rough ground.
Rather, let me bring it back to 2020. All the 2020 stuff about, what the MyPillow guy says and what other people were doing, it didn't even matter. Just let's talk about strategy that we know of. So this laptop emerges as the surprise. Remember George W. Bush, they came up with his DWI, and it might have closed the gap that made Al Gore and George W. Bush go into overtime. So that happens. There's October surprises all the time. So this pops up because in 2019, the FBI held on to it, wanted to keep it down. So it pops up in October. The real story is what was going on behind the scenes to suppress it. And if it came out, could that have been the difference that turned 200,000 votes in key areas Donald Trump's direction? And then when they're debating, they had to get this out and reputed and the 51 signatures before the debate. And Trump comes out and says, what's going on with the laptop? He goes, that's Russian disinformation. That means the president of the United States looked into the camera and lied to everyone watching, because like you are with your six kids, you know if that's your kid's laptop. You know if those pictures, those transmissions, those emails are yours, those text messages from and to you are yours. Not one of those 51 that I know have picked up the phone and said, hey, Mr. Vice President, is this you? Because if it is not, I'll say it's Russian disinformation. But if it is you, don't ruin my reputation and have me sign off on it. But the FBI never asked him. We never hear from it. The whole thing is suppressed until 6 months to 8 months after, when the Washington Post, New York Times, and Politico come out and say, hey, you know what? I think CBS, I think this stuff is real. That's the story of the 2020 election. What happened behind the scenes to suppress this intelligence about his international dealings and possible shenanigans?
Well, I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think it's a brilliant summary of where we stand, but I still come back to my put up or shut up. Where is the crime? What is the crime? It's like with Trump in Manhattan. What is the crime exactly? 34 counts on this indictment. And counts about what? What is this crime? Can you describe the offense that he's alleged to have committed? Not yet. We don't have to. Law doesn't make us be specific. And the same thing as with Trump, I think, as with Biden. I don't hear crimes there, Brian. I hear embarrassment. I hear, were there sympathetic agents high ranking in the FBI or the DOJ, generally speaking.
Right.
It makes you kind of throw up in your mouth about politicians and how dirty they are and how self-serving and so forth. But as a lawyer, I just look at it and say, I don't see how this ends other than the people promoting or presenting more sleaze about Hunter Biden. At some point, it's going to stick to them. The more they pursue this this creep, the creepier they're going to seem, I think. We got to move on. We got Taiwan. We got Ukraine. We got Russia. Trying to expand and threaten nuclear, this and that and the other thing. We got some big fish to fry here. I'm fascinated by this this race that now we see. Biden, is he the slam dunk nominee for his party? Now you have a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, he's kind of flaky himself, but I think that he may catch on. He may catch fire. Maybe you're not going to be talking about Biden as the front runner in a couple of months.
And let me give you one more theory, because you're better at this than me, but look, let's think one step ahead. Why is it that CBS, CNN, and NBC are covering this story? Why are they suddenly interested in following it up and staying on top of it? Why did that lawyer speak to CBS before Fox? Is there a possibility that the Democratic Party is saying, I'm done with him too? Final thought?
It could be. I mean, it's a fascinating theory. What you describe is absolutely accurate. Why are they taking this route? Is it that, they're about to pile onto the president and suggest that maybe he's not the man for the second term. I mean, long shot, I still think that it's going to be Trump and Biden, but I think we're going to have some fascinating discussions on Friday mornings going forward, Brian.
Absolutely. He's Geraldo Rivera. Geraldo, you have now permission to start your weekend.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you.
All right. Now, we come back. Your turn. 1-866-408-7669. And then Carlos Jimenez of Florida. Don't move. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Both sides, all opinions. It's Brian Kilmeade. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Download Fox News Channel's The 5 podcast for free. Five of your favorite Fox News personalities discuss current issues in a roundtable discussion. Get it now on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and FoxNewsPodcasts.com. The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
That is the moment that comes down the first time you can really see it flagrantly what the president's like when he lies. The president, vice president at the time, debating Donald Trump, who had COVID. In retrospect, he ended up testing positive a day later, showed up late that day, did not perform well. We all know that, way too aggressive. But at that moment, he was just stunned. He's like, really? Are you actually going to say that the Russians actually planted that laptop with all this information, all those pictures of your son, and had all the details of the deals, and you being the big guy, and Tony Bobulinski had come out and said, let me just tell you about the deals, and I met the president, the vice president at the time at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he told me, take care of my family, and I did, and then they double-crossed me and stabbed me in the back, and I got out. All that stuff, the press conference that was done, the things that were written, the laptop, and then all of a sudden, social media sidelines that they tell you is disinformation. 51 intel agents come out, and then they tell you this is classic Russian, the classic thing that Russians always do. And next thing you know, the president, when he goes to bring it up, has a moderator, has an opponent, social media, the media, all combining to marginalize the background on his opponent that shows, at the very least, he could potentially be compromised by his international dealings with other nations. Why? Because he's not selling anything except for influence. What influence could he give as president?
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Again, conflict in the Indo-Pacific region is not inevitable. But we cannot rest on our past accomplishments to secure a future peace. Security challenges threaten our very way of life, as well as the peace, prosperity, and stability of the rules-based international order that has enabled that peace for over 80 years. The investments we make today will allow future generations to enjoy the same legacy of liberty our ancestors entrusted to us. But we don't have the luxury of time.
Admiral Kilno, who's the commander of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, he's asking Congress for $9.1 billion to deter China and warn the U.S. must act with urgency, as you just heard. Did that message resonate? And can we get the money? And do you think they need the money? I say yes, but I would love to know what they're spending it on. Congressman Carlos Jimenez joins us now. He's on the House Armed Services Committee, Homeland Security, and China Select Committee. Man, you have an important series of committees there. Congressman, do you think they should get the money? Are you convinced that it will make a difference?
Well, I think it will make a difference, but we not only have to thwart China militarily, we also have to, frankly, we need to start to decouple from China and hurt them in that way. You know, the one thing that probably China fears the most is hurting their trade and really what is funding their incredible increase in military spending and their acceleration of the modernization of the PLA. And so this has to be a multifaceted approach. Yes, we need more new weapon systems. We need better weapon systems so that any invasion of Taiwan is painful to China. But in the end, I think it's a combination of that that threat plus, you know, the weakening of China and their economy. And look, it's not going to be painless for the United States to start to decouple, but we must decouple from China. We are way too dependent on them, and we are actually funding their ability to accelerate their military capacity. You know, it's American dollars that are doing this, and so we need to stop that.
Yeah, no kidding. But tell that to Janet Yellen, Cut 19.
These national security actions are not designed for us to gain a competitive economic advantage, but we do not seek to decouple our economy from China's. A full separation of our economies would be disastrous for both countries.
Who's right?
Who's right?
You or her?
She or me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm right. I'm right 100%. You know, that's idiotic, okay, if you somehow think that China, you know, look, they've said it. They want to be the dominant economic and military power by the year 2049, and we need to start decoupling. We need to start – look, if anything, COVID taught us that we can't be dependent on China for our supply chains. And, you know, we keep we're the ones that are supplying China with the ability to obtain their goals, which is to become the dominant military and economic power of the world. We have to decouple. And the fact that she doesn't understand this, and the Biden administration apparently doesn't understand this, is what makes President Joe Biden so dangerous.
It's but, like,
when he became president, in 2020, I predicted we're going to be in a major war soon, okay, somewhere. And sure enough, here we are in Ukraine. We're not involved in it, but yeah, in a sense we are because we're shipping arms to Ukraine. I don't think that would have happened under President Trump. I am actually sure it wouldn't have happened under President Trump because he would have talked to them and said, look, and explained to them that wasn't going to happen and it wasn't in their best interest. President Biden is weak. And frankly, every day, every single day, more and more evidence comes out to me that President Biden is compromised. And so that reaction from that secretary is not it doesn't surprise me because the entire administration doesn't know what it's doing. Or if it does know what it's doing, it's certainly not working in the interest of America.
Congressman, it looks like the admiral yesterday said he has not heard from his counterpart. He has called out to China, but they have not returned the call. Our Secretary of State's almost sadly begging to get back and speak. They're talking to France. They're talking to Germany. They're wining and dining Brazil. But they're trying to push us away. I want to stay away. I want them to worry about us. I'm tired of putting our hand out to them. We can't be this dumb. Now, I'm watching the President of the United States had met with Lula of Brazil a couple of months ago. Lula sold us out, going to trade with the Chinese currency. The Colombia leader was there yesterday at the White House. Now, they have gone into the orbit of Russia, Iran, and China. We're still friendly with them. It's watching a building detonate, slowly crash to the ground. And the president doesn't realize he actually put the lever down and put the dynamite in the building.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if he doesn't realize it. Remember, there's more and more evidence coming out every day that this president is compromised, okay, and compromised and his entire family is compromised. So, we need to get to the bottom of that, and because that could explain a lot of things, Brian. All right? I mean, none of what this president does makes any sense unless you view it through that lens. And so we need to get to the bottom of it. And I know the media is going to try to the mainstream media is going to try to cover it up as much as possible. Look what they did with the letter, the with the Biden, you know, the laptop issue, with and intelligence people coming out with a bogus letter saying that that was Russian disinformation, the Russian hoax, all of it. All right. And so now, you know, this president may get it, but gets it on the wrong side. Certainly not protecting American interests. And at the end of the day, we need to decouple from China, and we need to do it yesterday. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be without pain, but we need to start protecting American businesses, American industry.
Right.
We need to rebuild our capacity for manufacturing, and we need to build our own stuff here, or if not here, near shore, you know, to our allies and people on this side of the Pacific. And so, again, when I saw that the secretary saying what she said, you know, my jaw dropped. But then I said, well, it's the Biden administration. So I guess, you know, that's par for the course. They just don't get it. And by the way, this is now we're talking not just about our economy. We talk about our freedoms, because that's what the Chinese Communist Party wants to do. They want to dominate the world, and they want to surround us, and then they eventually want to destroy, you know, our freedoms. They want to destroy our economy. They want to make sure that we're no longer the military superpower of the world, and then they want to destroy our freedom. And, Brian, I came from Cuba. I've already seen my freedom in my home country disappear. No freedom of the press, no freedom of religion, no freedom of expression, nothing. You don't want to live there. You don't want to be there. And that's what this president is leading us to, by allowing China to continue on this path. And look, do you really think that that President Xi would not get a phone call from President Trump, would not accept a phone call from President Trump? That tells you everything that you need to know about this administration and the disaster that it is. And frankly, this nation cannot survive another 4 years of Joe Biden. Hey, we're going to be lucky to survive the next year and a half under Joe Biden, much less another four.
Imagine if you guys didn't have the House. And I'm not kidding. I wish.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, it's ineptness, or it's a mission. But the other thing that's breaking down is the border. And one sober authority on the border has been Congressman Henry Cuellar on the Democratic left. And that's why they tried to primary him. And he picked out what you just said. He sees South America, Latin America falling away. Cut 25.
You know, this is one thing that I've been talking about for many years, that we need to pay attention to what's happening in our own backyard, Mexico, Central America, Latin America in general. Because especially the Chinese, the Iranians and the Russians in certain countries, but especially the Chinese, they have ports of entry. You know, they have ports. They're doing a lot of work. In fact, I'll be happy to share later on some maps that show you the intensive work that the Chinese are doing. Right across the border here in the U.S., there are certain activities where it now says made in Mexico, but really made in China. The Chinese are coming in and moving into areas, to industrial parks, very, very close to our own border.
And now we have thousands well-dressed coming across our border as if they're actually refugees. They're not refugees. They're coming in here to middle to upper class. We already had some of them coming in pretending to be farm workers who are actually astrophysicists, and they go into these high-tech jobs and take our secrets. So right. What Congressman Cuellar is saying is not new to you.
No, no, absolutely not. And he's absolutely 100% right. You know, when I came to Congress, one of the first things I said is we have got to stop ignoring our own backyard, what's happening in our own backyard. Look, China is gaining influence in there because they're also interfering in elections, and they're pouring millions of dollars either bribing or corrupting influencers and then public officials themselves, and then putting their weight behind on elections so that their candidates win, candidates that will be friendly to the Chinese.
Like Lula in Brazil.
That's exactly that. And then Petro in Colombia, they're really happy that Maduro is in Venezuela. They're ecstatic about Cuba. And we continue to ignore our own backyard, and pretty soon we're going to be surrounded. And with nowhere to go. And you know what? We can't continue to do that. Mm-hmm. We have to now, you know, assert our presence in our own backyard, fight for freedom and democracy here in our hemisphere. Look, this is a global conflict. There's a conflict between good and evil, between freedom and oppression, and one side with the United States, and the other side, which is led by the People's Republic of China. and it's a competition, and they are our adversary. And we need to stop funding the instrument of our destruction. Every time we buy Chinese goods, and no matter how small, we are sending $1, $5, $10. And when you add that all up, it's trillions of dollars back to the Chinese and the Chinese Communist Party to use to defeat the United States, our principles, our freedoms, and our way of life. We have to face up to it. It's unfortunate that Secretary Yellen hasn't realized yet, or maybe she has realized that, and it's exactly what she wants, because there are people, I believe, in the White House that do not love America. They don't love America like you and I do, Brian. Right. They want to see a different America, and they're fine with telling people what to do, what to eat, what to drive, basically controlling our entire lives. And we're seeing that already here in the United States. And one of the reasons, the reason I ran for Congress is that I don't want to see the same thing that happened in my homeland happen here in the United States.
All right, so let's talk about 2024. You have possibly Mayor Suarez getting into the race. You have Governor DeSantis probably going to get in the race maybe as early as next week. He's expected to go abroad on Saturday, taking him through Japan and South Korea, Israel and United Kingdom. So that's usually not something a Florida governor does. So it looks like he's going to run, and Trump is beating, is leading in every poll in every state, but a solid second is DeSantis. I know you're a fan of both. Do you plan on endorsing?
I'll have a major announcement later today about who I'm going to throw my weight behind. I'll tell you who I'm not going to throw my weight behind is Suarez. That he is the Republican version of Pete Buttigieg, and not only that. At least Pete Buttigieg is a Democrat. Suarez is not as a Republican. He endorsed Hillary Clinton. He endorsed Andrew Gillum, and then he endorsed Biden in 2020. Everything that glitters is not gold, Brian. And if he comes out, I will let people know exactly who he is. He'd be hard pressed to win an election here in Miami-Dade County. People, he takes credit for a lot of stuff that he didn't do, and then he kind of dodges things that he did do. So, no, I'm not a fan of Francis Suarez. You can be sure that I will never support Francis Suarez. As far as Governor DeSantis and the president, I will make an announcement later today.
But regardless of who does get the nomination, could you support either one of them?
I will support the nominee of the Republican Party, because this nation cannot endure four more years of Joe Biden. Cannot. We can't. We are putting ourselves at risk if somehow this nation elects Joe Biden again. The nation that comes out that we will see in 2028 may be a nation that we don't recognize anymore, or is very little like the nation that we see today, even today. So whoever it comes out of the Republican nominating process, I will wholeheartedly endorse that individual.
Yeah, it looks like Donald Trump is picking up the bulk of the lawmakers in Florida. Michael Waltz, I know, has not made a decision yet, and we'll find out shortly. Byron Donalds has. It seems like most people are endorsing the former president. Lastly, do you think Governor DeSantis has done a good job in Florida?
Yes, I do. I have nothing but praise for the governor and the work that he did during the COVID. And I think he's doing, the proof is in the pudding. People are flooding into the state of Florida, the free state of Florida. And so, I think he's done a good job in Florida. And I think that the president did an outstanding job as president of the United States. And so, again, I will be supporting the nominee. I'll make, Brian, by the end of the day, you'll know exactly where I stand.
All right. I'm excited. If you want to tell us now, it's not going to be Joe Biden. I'm pretty sure of that.
All right. Just putting me in a bad position. I'm still mulling it over in my head,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, keep mulling. Yeah. All right, Congressman. Right. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Congressman Jimenez over in Florida. When we come back, I'll take your calls and find out if there's more to know.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers. Hear it first on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's find out if there's indeed more to know.
More to know. Sponsored by Spirits Capital Corporation. Barreled Whiskey is the cash cow of industry insiders. But now you too can invest in premium American whiskey as it ages. Go to caskdeeds.com. CASKdeeds.com to learn more. Paid for by Spirits Capital Corporation.
All right, here we go. Charges against Alec Baldwin have been dropped in the fatal onset rush shooting, according to everybody. He's 65 now. He's got like 100 kids. He says, quote, "We're very pleased with the decision to dismiss the case, but he's still got a civil case." So far, only one person's going to be charged in this, and they're going to start shooting again.
I mean, I guess they still want to make the money. It's disappointing. I mean, the poor woman's dead, but hopefully.
Yeah, no one's going to be held responsible.
I know.
I guess he's going to be part of the production, so he is for finishing the shoot, the actual movie.
The question, who do you think the movie will do better or worse now because of
better.
This incident?
Yeah, I think people will see it. Next, Britney Spears' memoir concerning for publishing executives as a singer spilling a lot more, a lot may be met with legal action. The pair have been seen at odds, I guess, with her husband, even though Jamie...
About her father.
The pair have been at odds for years, even though Jamie insists he saved her life. During his conservatorship, Britney openly alleged the abuse by her dad. Associates of Jamie claim that he will not simply let the daughter write what she wants to about him and destroy his reputation. So we'll see how that goes. Next, Twitter begins removing all the blue checks from users who don't pay. Have you figured out how to pay? Are you going to pay, Allison?
I'm not. No one cares if I'm verified or not. And really, I'm actually, you know, may or may not be on there as you most of the time anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm just searching.
Should I pay? How much is it going to be?
I think it's eight, but then I think if you want to post thing, there's something else. So
really?
It's a little...
It's going to be fees to post?
I know. We were trying to look into it. It was a little convoluted. We haven't figured it out yet. But longer videos, posts in general.
Understood. Next, the Oakland Athletics, and I'm glad about this. They're moving to Las Vegas, just like the Raiders. The Oakland is falling into a cesspool. They don't spend any money in their sports teams. Their owners don't have a lot of money. And Las Vegas will offer them a new stadium and a fresh start. Why not?
Another reason to go to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you go there, it's like 5,000 people. It's like watching a minor league soccer game in a Cavaliers stadium. It hit its stride 1971.
From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah, from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan, heard around the country, heard around the world. In a matter of moments, I'm going to speak with Jonathan Turley soon. I talk to him so often about so many important things. Soon I'm going to have to retain him, and he's going to need my credit card. I'll probably give him my Amex, or does he accept Apple Pay? Because I'm getting all this free legal advice. He makes me sound so smart, especially on the weekends when that's what the small talk is all about, all these investigations. Darryl Johnson at the bottom of the hour. The USFL is back. Great opportunity for football players who couldn't make the NFL or taking a deep little timeout and looking to go back. It's people who love football. Fox and NBC own it. They beat the XFL even though they're in the playoffs last week. Darryl Johnson runs that league. The Cowboy legend will be with us, and then we'll do a simulcast on Varney and Company, and you'll finally see what I look like. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's big three.
Number three.
Again, conflict in the Indo-Pacific region is not inevitable, but we cannot rest on our past accomplishments to secure a future peace.
Yep.
We don't have the luxury of time.
Yep, that is the admiral in charge of that region wants $9 billion more to secure it. The China threat. You see it. You feel it. President Biden's in denial. If he doesn't sober up quick, the free world is in the balance.
Number two.
President Biden has long said it is his intention to run, and CBS News has now learned that he could make it official as early as this coming Tuesday. That's exactly 4 years since the president jumped into the race in 2020.
Joe is a go, and he'll be 86 if he wins. It'll be reported on Tuesday. 80-year-old Joe Biden will officially declare he's running for four more. What's really happening behind the scenes that had to move up his timeline from the fall till now? We're going to take a deep dive. While the Republican field grows, they get Larry Elder and intrigue builds between DeSantis, Trump, and everybody else.
Number one.
According to a letter from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
Heat on Hunter. Could we be on the at the boiling point for the Biden family as we see the intricate plan to save Joe back in 2020? Spike the laptop, win an election, gradually unwrap that plan, and now we see that plan, and it does seem diabolical. With me right now is Jonathan Turley. Jonathan, we talked last night on, as I filled in on Jesse's show, but it does seem as though Mike Morell, under oath, came out and said, I wanted Joe Biden to win the election. I was asked to collect these 51 prestigious names, and I did when it came to the Hunter Biden laptop, labeling it classic Russian disinformation.
Yeah, it's a familiar pattern, of course, because that's the same pattern we saw with the Steele dossier. When the Steele dossier first came out, various reporters expressly asked the Clinton campaign, did you fund this? Is this your doing? And they said no. And later, a New York Times reporter and another reporter accused the campaign, people like Mark Alias, of really sort of lying to them, of concealing their role in this. But the pattern goes beyond that, right? I mean, the Steele dossier should have immediately raised alarms over the lack of support to these allegations. It did with people like Bob Woodward, who recently said, I told them not to go with this, that this was not a reliable story. Well, now we're seeing the same pattern with this letter. And it really shows the eagerness of the media. You know, when it comes to Hunter Biden's laptop, the media immediately said, we're not going to report on this. Even before the letter came out, they were resisting it. And yet when they get this unsupported letter, they just immediately replicate it. They don't ask, they don't press on where it came from, who was behind it. And the result is that in now successive elections, we've had this type of disinformation being placed by campaign figures into the body politic.
Jonathan, you must get this a lot. I mean, when there's a controversial court case or something that comes up in politics that has a legal angle to it, they would love to know that Jonathan Turley believes, let's say, what, you know, I back Brian Kilmeade. He's in trouble. Like, I call up. But you have a reputation. You have to say, hey, Brian, I like you, but the case is dicey. I can't put my reputation on it. I can't get my head around the fact that Michael Hayden, I know he had a health issue, but Leon Panetta, that I know Clapper and Brennan are politically compromised. We knew anything, they just hate Trump. But if you look up and down, this is some big names that we have seen interviewed on all different topics in the war on terror and the Cold War. And they, sight unseen, as far as I could tell, didn't even pick up the phone to say, hey, Joe, is that your son's laptop? Because I'm about to sign a letter that says it's Russia's idea. I don't want to put my reputation, which I earn off of, I give speeches on, I'm proud of, on the line if it's not true. And basically, no. Nobody asked, and they're all declining to comment right now.
No, it's very true. First of all, with regard to any allegations made involving Brian Kilmeade, I always accept those as true. They're sort of self-authenticating.
You just eliminate yourself as a good backer, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'll defend you to the end of the earth.
Thank you.
But you're perfectly right in all of this, in that the Hunter Biden laptop, what was interesting is that many of us wrote on the laptop in the early days. And one of the things that I wrote about was that this laptop seems to have self-authenticating elements because they're referring to emails that obviously have recipients or senders.
Yes.
So this was not hard to confirm. And yet the media struggled to find a way to say, we don't have to report on this, and even more so that it's probably false. And even when the president in a debate tells the American people, I've got this letter saying it's Russian disinformation, which we now know was prompted by his own campaign, the media still doesn't want to inquire. But you can see that in all these interviews. As you noted, Brian, these would be easy things to ask the president. You know, did you ever sit down with Tony Bobulinski? Because he said
once.
You did.
No one has. Yeah, no one has asked him that.
Yeah, and, you know, when you say that, you know, you had never had knowledge of your son's dealings, how about all of these pictures and visits from his business associates? You know, how plausible is that in light of your own voice captured on a message where you're talking about his business involvement? None of that is being questioned. I think part of the reason is that the Biden campaign really was brilliant in how they handled this. They got the media to buy into the illusion by calling an audience member to the stage to make something disappear. They are now invested in the trick. You know, for the media to now admit, wow, there's a lot of influence peddling here, and this could have national security implications, would be a self-indictment.
Yeah, I, the fact we got to this point, when people talk about, oh, this election was thrown, it was stolen, forget about everything, vote harvesting, all that stuff. If you just look at the information that was given to the American people and what wasn't, and what forces were working together to make sure the voters didn't find out everything they needed to know to decide a very, very close election. It was really, you know, decided by 200,000 votes in certain areas, and Donald Trump got 72 million of it. This is the type of story that I think is a bigger story. And I just find it fascinating, too, what's emerging now with the attorney, this whistleblower, with the possible attorney, calling out the possible attorney general for blocking an investigation that would move forward on Hunter Biden and possibly reveal the rest of his family. As the House is looking for bank records, it turns out a whistleblower has emerged from the IRS with a 20-year track record as an investigator, saying there's bias in investigation. He couldn't sleep. And he, and it is a he, has come forward, and his lawyer has confirmed that the attorney general's involved in the accusation as we wait to see this person come forward. And maybe you can help me with this. They say in a quirk in the federal law, this whistleblower needs congressional approval to more fully describe his allegations to his own lawyers, which he wants to do before testifying to lawmakers. Your thoughts on the whistleblower has constraints?
Well, there are some restraints. I've represented whistleblowers, and it's a rather complex web of regulations. The fact is, this lawyer is going about this correctly. What's breathtaking is the attack by Hunter Biden's lawyer saying that, well, I think he just committed a crime, strongly suggesting the whistleblower should be criminally charged. It's ironic because recently Hunter Biden asked for his critics to be investigated by the IRS. And so the fact is that this whistleblower does need permission to speak to these committees, but he's going to get that. The issue of perjury of the attorney general is a little more challenging. I don't think that a viable case is likely to come out of that because of the general language used by the attorney general. But that's not the main issue here. People need to focus on, and that is, was there political influence at the IRS? That itself is a crime, by the way. Interfering with a tax investigation is a crime in and of itself. But it also would explain why many of us have been writing for months that there's no perceptible movement in these cases, and we can't understand it. I mean, many of these crimes that are alleged by Hunter seem to be well supported. You know, that, you know, he had to pay his taxes late with the help of a wealthy friend. The gun form that he is accused of having false statements on is rather demonstrably true. So this would probably certainly explain part of that delay.
You know, again, I know the attorney general being I just don't get involved in that. I think in the bigger picture, let's just remove all. Don't get too involved. Don't dive too deep. Let's take a step back. From what you know of this case and all of your experience in John the Turley, do you need 5 years to figure out what Hunter did and didn't do?
No. And a good example of that is the foreign agent violation. I don't see how you can possibly look at these records and not find that he was an unregistered foreign agent. The Department of Justice slammed various Trump officials with these FARA violations, including Paul Manafort, there are really strong analogies between this and the Manafort case. So that's an example of how this one seems to be moving at a glacial pace when they seem to move with great dispatch against people like Paul Manafort.
Yeah, I would say so. In the event that this does move forward, just an observation, do you notice that unlike 2020, we're now seeing NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox covering this story? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting, if you look at this coverage, there's an interesting change. I mean, part of the most interesting aspect, of course, is the belated acknowledgement that the laptop is authentic. But you'll notice that while the media came forward with a sort of begrudging mea culpa, okay, we got this wrong, they don't explain why they didn't do this over the last 2 years. But also, they say the laptop is authentic, but then they don't deal with what's on the authentic laptop, right? So the media doesn't actually deal with these emails that are suggesting that President Biden was at least projected as recipient of some of this money. So it's a bizarre framing of this.
Yeah. Jonathan Turley, there's always enough for you. There's always a lot for you to comment on. We live in a very litigious world. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You got it. Have a great weekend. 1-866-408-7669. I'll come back and take your calls. Also, if you want to write, briankilmeade.com. We're still looking at the other things we've been looking at. I haven't really been able to dive deep yet, and that is the China threat and this administration just being left out to dry from Antarctica all the way down to Argentina. China is determined to out-influence us everywhere, including Africa. Why are we just sitting back, standing by? Can anyone be this inept? You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade. Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back. We're about to welcome in Daryl Johnson in about 10 minutes, talk a little bit of football, talk a little bit of sports, what's going on. I have no idea, on a side note, why Aaron Rodgers is not a New York Jet now. Have you ever seen anything like this? He says he's going. The Packers don't want him anymore. Hall of Famer, still going to play. Okay. Famous. Got it. No deal. I've never seen it. And there's, well, I'm going to talk to Daryl Johnson about that because the Brett Favre thing and all he has seen in his career. So we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, this is the last week for James Corden. I thought he was the most talented guy in late night, even though late night television is not close to what it was in terms of diverse talents. This guy can do it all. So I DVR his show once in a while because he's the least political of everybody. And the last night he had on P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. What is his last name?
Well,
the last one he's using.
Love is the current one.
Love is the current. He's just called Love.
Yes.
All right.
We have that. We have a clip of James Corden asking him.
So they're in carpool karaoke.
Yes. This is him talking, though.
The mystery of his name.
Yes.
Is now solved. I saw this, and this guy has got so much charisma and personality. Now I'm talking about James Corden. I'm talking about P. Diddy or Love.
I don't know what to call you.
You could call me any of the approved names.
Take us through.
I was born Puffy, okay, and then I became P. Diddy. Then they called me Diddy because I was so pretty.
Okay.
And then Puff Daddy, and then I became who I am now, which is Love.
Love.
Love. L-O-V, not brother love, just love.
Love.
Yes.
Now, I can't help but notice that you've overlooked Sean.
Sean is typically used, you know, by my mother or, I don't know, like when you're in trouble or something.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit like when my mom calls me my full name.
Yeah, it's just like Sean, like, okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's not on the approved list.
I'm not approved.
No, you're okay. Not. Sure. I love you, but Sean
is
a
not there yet.
Like,
I appreciate that. I'm not there yet.
You know, yeah.
Who is Sean approved from the world of entertainment?
There's only one person.
Oh, go on.
And I call him Sean. That's Jay-Z. We call each other Sean.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody else could call me Sean.
He's and the only person who's Sean approved.
There's not a single person that
outside
should be,
of family.
That should be, no, outside of my mother.
Okay. Just
that should be calling me, yeah, that should be calling me Sean.
So do you think we just made the world a better place?
I do. I think we helped a lot of people. If you ever bump into Love in an airport, don't call him Sean. He's not going to respond.
Right.
And he's going to be offended.
I've never seen a guy more well-groomed.
Really? Right? Never?
Ever. I mean, isn't he?
We work in a building with a lot of well-groomed men.
He's better.
Interesting.
He's better. What'd you think of it?
I thought he was good. I agree with you. He was very, later in the show, we'll play a cut too. It was very funny about how a baby number 7 came about.
Right. And then had to go and how James Corden could do the same.
Yes, but that would be 2 cuts because it's very long, but very funny. Apparently, we'll give you a little tidbit. If you start to need to do more of an R&B album, it helps you make babies.
Oh, that's so interesting. All right. It's good to know. But, you know, remember, he's been on the scene. He used to have that white party out east. And he did Fox and Friends once, and he said on the air he was going to invite me. But then something controversial happened, and they stopped doing the party. I think it got too big.
Was that it, or you just didn't get an invitation?
But I remember like saying to myself, I was going to have fun with it on the air and say, like, well, listen, my invitation never came. And I remember they go, we're stopping it after this year. And I had my one chance to hang out with my people who are celebrities. Those are my people, celebrities.
From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Third and goal, Kukoc open, touchdown, Chris Rowland walking in for 6. Kukoc the swing to Colburn to the edge, and he did beat 5. On 3rd and 7, Kukoc hit as he throws for the end zone, floats into the hands of Devin Gray.
And there you go. Sadly, I guess for the Memphis Showboats, they lose their opener as they come back into fruition, come back into play after years gone dormant. It's part of the USL revival year 2. Off to a roaring start, Philadelphia beat Memphis. Birmingham down the Generals of New Jersey. New Orleans 22, Maulers 15, Michigan over Houston. And joining us now, the man in charge, former NFL fullback, 3-time Super Bowl champion, a Dallas Cowboy legend, and USFL Executive Vice President, Darryl Johnson. Darryl, congratulations. Year 2 is underway.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. Good to be with you.
Hey, so what's it like this year? Number one, not everybody's in the same location. You fanned it out.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't think we ever realized how chaotic our environment was last year until we got here this year and just had the 2 teams per hub. So the hard part is we don't have everybody with us. Obviously, everybody's kind of spread out across the league, Detroit, Canton, Memphis, and Birmingham. So we don't have that camaraderie and that unity that we had and we tapped into last year to get through year 1. But it's a much more relaxable pace. I've been to more practices already at this point this season than I did all of last season. So I just think we were all finding out this year how chaotic that environment we worked in last year with all 8 teams in the Birmingham hub.
Yeah, and now little by little, I guess, is the goal to get everybody in their cities, to have a team in New Jersey, get a team in New Orleans?
Exactly. And that was the big feedback we got from the fans in year 1. You know, when Birmingham was playing here, it was great. You know, for all intents and purposes, they had 10 home games. They might have been listed the away team, but that they were never the away team last season. And it was hard for our other 7 teams to compete in that environment. They never had that home game feel. So, you know, when we pushed the envelope with the production and, you know, we had double sky cam and drones and helmet cams, we were exposing ourselves to empty seats. And we felt the risk reward would lean in our favor, but our fans really wanted to see more people in the seats. So that was the reason to go to 4 hubs. You know, initially we were going to do a north and a south, but when we got the feedback from our fans, we really wanted to kind of ramp up that timeline and do exactly what you said, get more teams into their home markets as quick as we possibly could. You know, obviously Canton is a unique one. We don't really have a true home team there. Pittsburgh's about 1 hour and 30 away. But we really wanted to maintain and expand on that relationship in Canton that we had during our playoffs last year. So our plan is to get more home teams into their home markets as we go from season to season, and we can't wait till we've got all 8 into their home markets.
All right, so I want everyone to hear another big game was the New Orleans Breakers against the Pittsburgh Maulers. Let's listen.
They get protection. Bethel Thompson running it. Diving! And he's right near that first down marker. Bethel Thompson under pressure. Finds an open man. Saves the right. Slips a tackle. Down inside the 10. Bethel Thompson looking to throw.
Anthony Jones out of the backfield. Touchdown, Breakers.
And that, of course, is Kurt Menefee, 22-15. The Maulers go down in this one. So week one, you're going against the XFL in week one, and you guys, just about a million viewers from Fox Sports 1 to NBC to Fox Sports and just the network. You have to be happy with where the first week went.
We really were. I think last year there's a big curiosity factor that kind of comes into that week one game. But now they know who we are. We've completed a season. And for us to, beat our competition by almost a million viewers, that's a credit to the people that we work, our partners at Fox and at NBC. Because I continue to say this, nobody does football better than Fox with America's Game of the Week and NBC with Sunday Night Football. So to have those two people on our side helping us through this journey is just unbelievable. And a great lead in from NBC on Sunday morning with an English Premier game. We've got 17 more fantastic lead-ins coming from Fox and NBC during the course of our season to try and hook some viewers to stay with us. So, we're really looking to exceed the ratings that we had last year on a week-to-week basis. And we open in Canton this week. I think that's going to be a big test for us, number one, just from viewership, but also attendance. It's going to be a little bit chilly, as I'm sure Janice Dean has told everybody about, in Canton. So we'll see what the turnout is there, but it looks promising right now. But I think the ratings are going to continue to stay right where they are, and that's all we can ask for. And then as we move through the season and we get some of these great lead-ins, we'll start to grow that viewership.
You didn't have that problem. Come out of Syracuse, get drafted right away by the Cowboys. Team ends up great and is being a juggernaut for years. But after talking to these players who are on the edge, the Division II players, 1AA, are the ones that just fell out of the draft or underachieved in camp. What have they expressed to you, player to player, about this opportunity?
They are so grateful, and one of the things that all of our coaches say, and that was one of the big things we did this year. We actually lost 50% of our head coaching staff last year, from our original eight, who we'll always be grateful to. We lost four of those, and we brought in four new head coaches. Very blessed, to have these gentlemen with us. There's over 120 years of coaching experience there, five Super Bowl rings, and they came into us, and a lot of them have NFL experience, and they said, we love these kids. They're unbelievable. You go to the NFL, and sometimes you've got to push some guys to get involved with special teams. You've got to push some guys to do certain things. He goes, we have to pull these guys back. We've got small rosters. We're doing double duty because we're, as an offensive player, you're getting ready for your game, but then you also have to simulate the offense for the other team as a scout team for your defense. And he goes, these guys never bat an eye. They never complain. It's just, what can I do, coach? How can I help, coach? And so one of the things that our head coaches find out when they get to the USFL is just how much our guys love football, are grateful for the opportunity, and just, hey, what can I do to get better? Where are my weaknesses? What do I need to improve at so I can get a better chance to stay in the NFL?
Yeah, you get a lot of teaching, and if you're a good coach, you can elevate those players. It makes you look good, and then those players say, hey, I had this great coach back in playing with the Maulers. So Darryl, what are the big games this week? What hubs are going to be ignited? What's the Fox Sports schedule? Do you know?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of crossover here. It's kind of fun this weekend. So, we've got the Memphis hub coming down to Birmingham. So we're going to have Birmingham, New Orleans on Saturday. We've got a doubleheader here in Birmingham. And then we're going to have Memphis versus Birmingham in the afternoon or in the evening game. And then we've got kind of our first go around with the intra hub scrimmages games. We've got, unfortunately, we couldn't get onto Ford Field this weekend, so we're traveling down to Canton. We're going to do a doubleheader in Canton on Sunday. So we've got Philadelphia playing Michigan, which are paired together in our Michigan hub, but they're traveling down to Canton to do that. And then we've got Pittsburgh versus New Jersey, who share the Canton hub together, playing against each other. So it's kind of fun for us. This weekend we've got the two teams in the northern hubs playing against each other, which will be an interesting thing to see. So we're really, really excited. Birmingham has got that, they've got that target on them. We hear it from the New Orleans players here, intra hub, and they'll get to play next weekend. But I'm real interested to see a couple of our teams bounce back. We were undefeated last week here in the Birmingham hub. The Michigan hub was undefeated as well. With the Memphis hub coming down here, and one of those teams, the Houston team, you know, was one of the teams I had my eye on. I was impressed by Kenji Bahar, the quarterback, in the scrimmages we had in Memphis, but he didn't play as well in the opening week. So I want to see if Houston can bounce back. And then Memphis, I think, is still trying to figure out exactly who that starting quarterback is going to be. They made a change at number two and number three, but I think Brady White's still the starter. But they've made a change with their backup quarterback, and it'll be interesting to see if Todd kind of pushes that to see who he's got from quarterback depth.
Now, you're the high-profile guy at the USFL. The XFL has The Rock. Could you tell our viewers, our listeners, why you are a better choice?
I think I have a lot more experience around the game of
football. There you go.
I have a really, really good network. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to sit here and tell people that I have all the answers. But I do believe that I'm a phone call away from some very, very smart football people that can help me find my answer. So I think that that's one of the advantages that we have in the USFL is we've got a number of people associated with us at the top that have tremendous outreach into their networks to help us make our tough decisions and get a little bit of guidance. And I think that's a luxury that we have and the XFL has good people. They've got good people in the front office. I know Russ Brandon. I know Russ Giglio. I know Doug Whaley. There's a lot of good people over there. And we're the same here on our side. But I really do feel, you know, through my playing career, through my broadcasting career, the relationships that I've created, not only with the NFL teams, but with the league itself, that I can get an answer to a question or some information to help me get that answer from some very, very smart, experienced people.
Well, he was goofing off in the movies. You were learning and playing football, winning championships. Darryl Johnson, best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, Brian. Always good to visit with you.
Yeah, tune in to the USFL. Back in a moment. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Now, the Brian Kilmeade Show joins Fox Business's Varney and Company with Stuart Varney, live on your radio and on Fox Business. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. A matter of moments, going to simulcast on FBN, one of the fastest-growing cable stations in all the world. And Stuart Varney, one of the top shows in the country, will do that, and we'll explain not only what's happening in business, but in news. Also, let me urge you to watch One Nation Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, repeated again at 11. Tell all, and I'm going to be talking about something else that I cannot believe we're doing, and that is transgender sports. Do you believe there's another side to this? Some people say there is. He's running through his markets right now, so let's listen in.
51 Eastern Time. You know what that means on a Friday morning? It means Kilmeade time, and here he is. All right, Brian, let's get straight at it. The accusation is that Merrick Garland obstructed justice in the Hunter Biden laptop probe. What do you know about this?
Well, we got to see what the whistleblower says. There's a quirk in the law that says before the whistleblower can go and brief Congress, he wants to be able to meet with his lawyer, tell him everything as an IRS investigator. In order to do that, needs permission from Congress to do it, from this committee to do it, bipartisan. When he does that, he's going to open up the whistleblower to his lawyer, and then they're going to decide how to approach this. And it's confirmed it's the attorney general. With David Weiss, who's the attorney in Delaware, kept over from the Donald Trump era, that's doing the five-year investigation. Can you imagine a five-year investigation on something where we all see all the paperwork virtually, and we see all the money and the loss and the IRS payments? We have a guy that made the payments already. Then we're trying to uncomplicate this deal and find out what other maybe international foreign deals he was cutting without getting proper credentials.
Is this the big break, Brian? This is it?
When this whistleblower comes forward, just watching the attorney, watching to see the way the other networks are covering it, my sense is that not only are we going to be covering it when this whistleblower comes forward, it's going to be impossible to avoid. Because this is the president of the United States who wants to change the subject. That's why he's announcing on Tuesday. This is a president of the United States who's desperate to talk about something friendly to the left, like today, green energy, environmental causes and equity. He's doing that today. I think he's desperately trying to change the song.
Okay, let's see how that goes. Congresswoman Nancy Mace was on the show moments ago. Listen to what she said about the House passing the bill protecting women in sports. Watch this.
It's actually discrimination against women, if you want to get to the bottom of it. And I want to thank Riley Gaines for having the courage to tell her deeply personal story. A young woman who had to compete against a biological male who was denied a medal, didn't get first place because he was much stronger than her physically, and had to share a locker room with a biological male. I mean, yesterday, while we were on the floor, I had an amendment that passed on the bill. Republicans were called insidious. They were called transphobic. And what's insidious is forcing a girl to share a locker room with a boy.
Yeah, well said. Brian, I don't see how Biden and the Democrats can defend biological men competing in women's sports. It's just not fair, but they're running with it.
You know, it's easy to come against these horrible people called white men, but when you go ahead and say, my mission is to sideline and marginalize women, good luck with that message. Because when you drill down on it, that's what it's saying. It's saying women competing at the highest level is so of little importance, it doesn't matter who decides to enter. Now, they're calling it bullying. Hakeem Jeffries says this is a non-issue. This all is not an issue. Really? Okay, I guess you didn't watch Division I swimming last year. I guess you haven't been paying attention to the big debate in this country, the whole pick-your-gender attitude. Now that you're in third grade, we used to pick instruments. Now we're picking what we want to be, what pronoun we want. Thankfully, in Florida anyway, they're putting an end to that. So now you have it happening in sports. What also muddy the waters is Megan Rapinoe. This is an outstanding women's soccer player, and says nobody cares about women's high school volleyball, you know, enough. Really? Today I was talking to a Division I volleyball player, female, who's now coaching Division I volleyball, who cares a lot about Division I volleyball and high school volleyball. Why is high school volleyball not good enough? I mean, why is that okay to tell women, no matter how hard you train, if a man wants to compete with you, they can, and they can get the medal. Why do women not matter suddenly?
I think, what's wrong with this idea? In sports, why don't you have men competing with men, women competing with men, and trans competing with trans? A separate category. What's wrong with that?
I just don't think there are enough. I mean, do you? I haven't seen the numbers. It's 0.5% or 1%. I just think this. True. This is my analogy, and I think it's a good one. When Kobe Bryant at 18 goes to the Lakers, he's playing with the Lakers. He might watch the NCAA tournament and be 19 and say, those guys are my age, I want to play. Kobe, Kevin Garnett, whoever decided to come out of high school early, Shaquille O'Neal, you can't go backwards. You can't go backwards. You made a decision.
Can't go back.
So you make a decision. Those are the rules. And you could go and train, but you're not going to be able to compete. That's just the way it is. And yeah, I just think that that's the reality we have to live with. Because of a small source of number of people who decide something for them, and that's fine. It's not right to mess with other people's dreams along the way.
Brian Kilmeade, good stuff. See you again next week. Thank you very much, Brian.
All right.
On
Thanks
the show,
so much,
just ahead, Steve Hilton.
All right. We got about a minute left. 1-866-408-7669. So among the people that Donna DeVerona, who I did not know this, in 1960 was your 13-year-old Olympian. Then in Tokyo, she wins gold, a bunch of medals, and soon after, she makes a bigger impact as actually co-founder of the Women's Sports Foundation, plays a big role with Title IX. She says she talked to Renee Richards. If you remember, so odd, from Massapequa, where I'm from, a man that decided to be a woman and then competed on the women's circuit. Caitlyn Jenner, obviously one of the finest athletes America ever produced, becomes a woman. You know what they both say? No way should you let transgenders play with women. Not fair. They said it. They lived it. Okay? I'll give them the expertise. And when they say Renee Richards actually competed against other women, and Renee Richards now says, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Everything was brand new back then. But look, I just think it's an issue. We have so many major issues. We're talking about the China threat. We're talking about our economy. We're talking about the collapse of banks. We're talking about this new mortgage leveling thing, which is outrageous, outrageous for those of you with great credit who have enough money for a down payment. It's going to affect you. This other stuff matters, but the numbers don't say it's that pervasive. But I just find it interesting that suddenly women's sports doesn't matter to so many people that went to bat for it so many times.
Fox News headquarters in New York City. Always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. So glad you're here. Shannon Bream is going to be here in a matter of moments. She's got a big book tour coming out, big show on Sunday. Julie Medeiros and Kennedy together on her show. Both have one thing in common. They don't like me. So this could be, unlike Shannon, who adores me, I look forward to that interview, but not at the bottom of the hour. That's something I have to work through, and I'll have to really have a stiff talking to with my producing team, which is about 22 people now. It is a huge staff. In fact, Allison doesn't even have to come in. She just presides over, doesn't really make any decisions, just navigates different vacation days and human resources advancements. And by the way, quick mention today, Governor DeSantis, even though he hasn't declared yet, man, he feels like a candidate. He is speaking at the Heritage Foundation. Then he is going to Japan and South Korea. This guy wants to burnish his international credentials, going to Israel, too, which I know he's been there before. He's got the war experience. I'm not sure it's a great time to leave the country, the way everyone's beating up on him, which means they do fear him. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Again, conflict in the Indo-Pacific region is not inevitable, but we cannot rest on our past accomplishments to secure a future peace. We don't have the luxury of time.
That, of course, is Admiral Okilno. He's in charge of the Indo-Pacific region for the U.S. and has been unable to get the Chinese counterpart on the phone, which has a bit of a problem. It's called a China threat. I see it. You feel it. President Biden's in denial about it. He better sober up quick. Only the future of the free world is at stake.
Number two, President Biden has long said it is his intention to run, and CBS News has now learned that he could make it official as early as this coming Tuesday. That's exactly 4 years since the president jumped into the race in 2020.
Wow. Joe Zago, it's being reported that on Tuesday, the 80-year-old Joe Biden will say, I need 4 more years and free housing. What's really happening behind the scenes? I thought this was going to be a fall rollout. We'll dive deep. And also on the Republican side, the field grows. We have another entry we'll discuss.
Number one.
According to a letter from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
Catherine Herridge, heat on Hunter. Could we be at the boiling point for the Biden family as we see the intricate plan to save Joe, spike the laptop, win an election, and gradually... Well, that plot is being unwrapped. Even if the consequences are delayed, the exposed truth seems within sight. And joining us now, Shannon Bream, anchor of Fox News Sunday, author of The Love Stories of the Bible Speak, Biblical Lessons on Romance, Friendship, and Faith. Shannon will be signing books on Barnes & Noble at the Villages in Florida on Saturday. That's this Saturday, April 22nd, from 11 to 1. Only 2 hours. She's a busy woman. Shannon, welcome.
Brian, I am joining you from the airport because I'm about to head to the Villages. So I just apologize for whatever TSA arrest me, whatever happens, you hear in the background. Just, you know, send money if you need to.
Set the scene for me. Where are you in the boarding process?
I'm about to go in the TSA pre-check line, but I thought not everybody in the line wants to hear our personal conversation that's just between you and me. So I figure I'm going to wait, and then I'm going to get in the line.
I appreciate that. Do you have clear?
I don't, and I've thought about it. Do you have clear?
It is the best invention ever. I know people look at Edison and the light bulb. I think it's even bigger.
Really? Because I fly almost every week, and sometimes those clear people, they butt in line at TSA pre-check, and I'm like, maybe I should do the clear thing.
Hey, Allison, do you like the clear? I mean, is it unbelievable?
It is life-changing, I will
right?
say that.
And put it this way, they're happy
right.
to see you.
You're convincing me.
But they're happy to see you, Shannon. They have your attitude. You show up there like, you're a clear member? Let me show you. And know what they do? They say, show me your eyes. They don't say, show me your ID.
Do you feel like that's a little bit creepy?
No, I love it. So a fellow anchor of ours, he didn't give me permission to tell him. I don't really think it's a big deal, but he forgot his license. But he's been cleared. So he goes to, in Texas, and in New York, he goes there, and they say, clear, welcome. And they look at his eyes, they take his retina shot. The click happens, and they walk her up. They go, "Thank you very much, Mr. Fox anchor," and they let him in. Mm-hmm. That's how much they go through your background check, and they make sure you're you. And you go, that's my last thing I'll say about Click. They're not sponsoring the show yet.
Model, you should be. I know you're a spokesmodel for a number of things, but not currently Clear.
No, just Autoborn.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's the only one I got. So when we talk about a whistleblower coming forward, we got his lawyer. We don't have him. As you watch the lawyer come forward, understand what he's representing and what he said. It's a male. We know that about the whistleblower. He's very experienced, had trouble sleeping at night because of the fact that they feel as though this politics have gotten into the investigation, the Hunter Biden situation, which is now in its fifth year. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Well, listen, he's come to Congress. I mean, he went to both Democrats and Republicans and said, this isn't a partisan thing. I want to do this right. He went to them for whistleblower protections. And there are a number of statutes that will kick in if he's actually viewed technically as a congressional whistleblower, somebody who's coming from a federal agency. And then all kinds of other different protections come in. He can share different information. And if somebody tries to retaliate against him or tamper with him as a witness, they can actually face time in jail. So there's a process. And a number of these GOP House chairs have said, committee chairs, we want to talk to him and figure out if this is the path we're going to go down.
So one thing I thought was interesting is the Hunter Biden's lawyers tend to be a little ham-handed. First off, no one ever admitted on the Biden team that the laptop was his. But his lawyer suing for the repair shop owner for letting everyone know what's on the laptop. Why would you be suing somebody without a laptop that's not yours? Number two is now he's suing the whistleblower ahead of time. And the whistleblower is like, I got whistleblower protection, but this is exactly what I was worried about.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tricky because obviously, listen, we think the president's going to roll out his reelection bid on Tuesday. The Hunter thing has dogged him the entire time. And once the House Republicans, they took over and started running these committees, now it's become a constant thing that Peter Ducey and Jackie Heinrich and others are taking to the White House in these briefings. And they're having to constantly say, we leave this to DOJ or we leave this to the IRS and we trust them to be independent here. But when it's going beyond, Fox and conservative media outlets asking about this, it becomes a real problem for them. And there are questions that are beyond, just a specific group of outlets that are now pushing Karine Jean-Pierre on a pretty regular basis.
So Congressman Jim Jordan, who's head of the Weaponization of Government Committee, had Mike Morrell there. And I did not see this hearing, but Mike Morrell did swear. And he said, he did take the oath and said, Tony Blinken called me up and said, round up 51 people. This is Russian disinformation. And he did. Cut seven.
The way Vice President Biden did it was he made it seem like it was organic. And understand, it was choreographed all the way. And understand this, too. It wasn't just their names on that letter, on that statement. It was their names and their title. This imprimatur that it was accurate when it wasn't. And that's the scariest thing of all. And that letter became the basis for keeping this information from the American people. And the other thing that was important we learned in that deposition with Mr. Morrell is Mr. Morrell was even trying to direct who the Biden campaign told him who to get this to in the media. It was that coordinated.
Oh, well,
that's the scary
tight
part.
And the thing was, they asked Mike Morrell too, why'd you do it? He said, I didn't want Donald Trump to win. Okay. Mm-hmm. But why, put it this way, Shannon, do you ever get asked to blurb a book?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So do I. Do you know, would you ever blurb a book without knowing the person and the content?
So I would not do that.
Would you if you're like Leon Panetta, if you're Michael Hayden, I don't care how much you dislike Donald Trump, why would you put your career reputation on the line for a crack-addicted, hooker-loving Hunter Biden when all you had to do was call up Joe Biden and say, Joe, is this your son's laptop? Because are these emails from you? At least some of this stuff, is it real? Because they want me to sign this. The election is 2 weeks away. The debate's 2 days away. I don't think I should do it. You're in Washington, Shannon. Does this surprise you?
Well, don't you feel like over the last few years, though, it's been that people have decided if they are anti-Trump, they will do whatever it takes to stop him. And so, like you said, feeding things to the media. And then I thought about the FISA applications, feeding things to the media and then citing the media in your applications to FISA for a warrant. I mean, this is not a new game, but it's very interesting that there are people in Washington who the ends justifies the means. If they were so dead set in believing that, in their estimation, Trump's bad for democracy, all these kinds of things, it seems that some people have been willing to gloss over the rest of the process in order to do whatever they could to keep him from the White House. And you saw how this showed up in the debate just a couple of days later when President Biden was running then and was able to say, look at these experts. These are 50 of the best intel experts we've ever had in this country, and they're saying this is Russian disinformation. You know, so he had that in his back pocket ready to go, and it certainly was a benefit to him in the campaign and in that debate.
So let's fast forward to 2024. The president on Tuesday is going to make the announcement. Some are saying, well, he's superstitious, and that's where he did it on the same date 2.5 years ago. Okay, that could be one thing. But weren't we hearing up until yesterday that the president's going to wait until the fall, let Republicans fight it out, which if that in fact was true, not denied by the White House, because they originally were supposed to do it after the State of the Union address, roughly around there. I'm just wondering if RFK Jr. getting in the race, emerging with 14 percentage points, has anything to do with it. Shannon, what do your sources indicate?
Yeah, you have to wonder, because we'd heard all kinds of things about when the date was going to be for the president to announce and what his decision-making thought process was. But yeah, RFK made quite a splash this week, and there are continuing poll numbers that show a majority of Americans and majority of Democrat primary voters do not want President Biden to be their choice the next time around. So I think they're very aware of those numbers, and to see RFK Jr. jump in and have quite a splash like that, they might have felt, okay, no more playing around. We got to lock this down, because listen, the power of the presidency, the power of incumbency, I think clearly once the president says that he's in, that really boxes everybody else out. And maybe they just thought, let's not let this, any of this other stuff kind of catch fire and become a real threat for us.
I just thought the president seems to be looking very old these days. We know the presidency wears on the youngest man. It seems to be really wearing him out. And now he's going to be going to Australia and Japan in May and have a tough, bare knuckle fight for the debt ceiling straight ahead. And he's saying to himself, This is the perfect time to ask for 4 more years. But yet, I know he's barely got a lead over Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire, according to the latest poll.
Yeah, I mean, there are other places where, other candidates like that show up. And you got to wonder, Bernie kind of says he's done sort of running for the presidency. But, man, he's made things tough on the Democrat field the last couple of times he's gotten in. And he's been a headache to the DNC. And, there's nobody who could tell him you can't do it. It's free country, last time I checked. And it would be really interesting to see somebody get in to the Democratic primary against a current sitting president. But after the last few years in politics, nothing should surprise us anymore.
Lastly, on the right, Governor DeSantis is under attack from the mayor of Miami. He's losing all the endorsements in Miami. I think there's a lot of fear of Governor DeSantis. Listen to Kellyanne Conway. She adds that. Cut 15.
Donald Trump works the phones. Nobody's going to outwork him. Nobody's going to have more energy. And he's been racking up endorsements and making calls to different people because he wants to show them that I've done the job before. I want to do the job again. Also, I think that Ron DeSantis has just frittered away so much of the last 5.5 months talking about woke this and Disney that, not putting out an economic plan, not having serious policy people fly to Tallahassee en masse, an economic group, an education group, a Ukraine group, a crime group, a border group, just to go and listen to what some of the experts in your own party, in your own center-right movement have to say. The other ironic thing is that Ron DeSantis has a really good record as Florida governor to run on. There's no question about it. I agree. But he's going to be stuck in Florida, or he's going to be criticized for spending too much time out of Florida.
And they talked about what happened with the rain and the flooding in Fort Lauderdale. So are you been a little astounded as you see the number of attacks on Ron DeSantis?
Listen, I'm not surprised. I mean, the president, clearly former president, has seen him as a threat for a long time, has been running ads against him for a long time, watches his every move and uses it to tweak and to troll him. And so not surprising. I mean, he's got the megaphone right now. Now, remember, 18 months out, things can look one way. And, 6 months from now, they could look very different. I mean, we've got our first debate in August. So we'll see. But DeSantis has some ground to make up. There are a lot of people who, his team is going to them for endorsements now. They're like, he didn't return my call for 5 years. He never talked to me once when he was in Congress. I couldn't get a hold of your office. And that stuff pays dividends in the negative. And so that's catching up with him right now. Now, whether the rest of the country cares about what a lawmaker in Florida is doing, you know, this early in the race, who knows? But, man, President Trump has got momentum in fundraising and in polling, no doubt.
Have you decided who you want on your show, or is it going to be just you and a band?
It is going to be a band. Actually, I do have a musician on this week, the mother of blues, Pat Cohen, who has actually been through a lot of reasons to sing the blues, and she's got a pretty amazing life story, so she'll be with us. But Governor Asa Hutchinson is going to be with us to talk about why the heck he is getting into this very crowded Republican primary, as the former president seems to be running away from it, running away with it. And I think, I don't know if I can say her Democrat yet, but I'll put it out on social media shortly.
Why, you don't want to tell me?
I can tell you off air, but I think I'll be able to tell you publicly very shortly. But I got to go now because I can't miss the people in the villages.
Okay, go get clear. All right, promise me, Shannon.
Okay, I'm going to
watch Fox News Sunday and go see her. Go see her at Barnes & Noble at the Villages tomorrow at 11 to 1. Shannon, go get him.
See there.
Go get him. 1-866-408-7669. Back in a moment.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade. A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. A couple of things come to mind. We have not really talked about the threat of China and the passive way in which this administration, if not acknowledging it or just overwhelmed about how to handle it. Listen to Janet Yellen. When you talk about economics, when you talk about their philosophy, getting into Central and Latin America, to Central and South America, I should say, their role in Africa. But Janet Yellen, not ready to declare open competition. Cut 20.
We've imposed sanctions on the PRC's regional officials and companies for a range of human rights abuses, from torture to arbitrary detention. And we're restricting imports of goods produced with forced labor in Xinjiang.
Yeah, but this is also part of her speech. Cut 19.
These national security actions are not designed for us to gain a competitive economic advantage, but we do not seek to decouple our economy from China's. A full separation of our economies would be disastrous for both countries.
If it was abrupt, sure. But we're not talking about an abrupt decoupling. We're talking about a gradual pulling away, incentives to do what you did with the CHIPS Act, only less intrusive with less regulation, to pull people back, to identify maybe other countries where we can get manufacturing going, but most importantly, bring it here to states that would allow you to affordably do things, more like South Carolina and the non-union states. Not saying unions are bad, but the prices that they demand and the strings that are attached make it even more difficult to bring it out Southeastern Asia and beyond. You could build some things in Korea, build some things in Japan, but more importantly, get them out of China and still stand up and get some swagger. Let them be on their back foot. Let them wonder what America's up till next, because they're creeping up on us everywhere. And at least I'd like to know that we're in there fighting. But when we fight, we always win.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
So that was a scene, famous scene from the debate, where Donald Trump, we actually had COVID at the time, said that when he brought up about Hunter's antics, in comes Joe Biden with 51 intelligence agents say this is all a bunch of garbage. Guess who's here? Kennedy's here. And this girl comes on the tip of my tongue. Is this the first time you guys are together?
No. Are you
not
kidding?
Emotionally.
Julie Banderas is here. I almost think you guys should be a team. I didn't know if this was
we've teamed up.
We have.
Yeah.
Against you.
To fight crime.
Yeah, when you hear those sirens, the FDNY sirens, it's because we've been burning the city down.
Right.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We actually are the head of a street gang.
Mm-hmm.
And that gang, what's the name of that gang?
Kennedy and Julie.
Okay. Yeah. There's no coyness to it.
No, because
you know
we're
where to find me.
We're trying
to lay
low.
It was hot cougar bitches, but
yes. That's... Oh my God, can we change it? We're officially changing ourselves. We are now the hot cougar bitches.
So Joe Biden was able to look in that camera.
I love when stuff throws you off.
What in the hell?
Joe Biden was able to look in the camera and flat out lie.
It was a lie. He knew it was a lie. He knew the laptop was real. He knows that his son has problems, and that's putting it lightly, and that is soft pedaling it. He knew that those people who signed that were compromised. They were obviously promised something. Those are the people who run the spy apparatus in this country. They are spying on you warrantlessly, and they lie for politicians to save face and to reinsert the establishment. And shame on every single one of them, especially this president, who should not be reelected because he is mentally deficient and morally compromised.
Right. You gave me even more than I thought. But do you know
I think he's great.
Sometimes in your life, when someone lies – and then you catch him, you go, you go, okay, that's the way they look when they lie. So, and how definitive did they sound when they were doing it? And it made me think, Julie, what else is he lying about? You knew at the time. And how lazy are these 51 intel agencies not to pick up the phone and say, number one, Joe, see your son's laptop? I'm about to sign off on this. Number two, let's just look, show me a few emails, get your assistant, show me a few emails, find out if the correspondence between these well-known people took Devin Archer, others, and you have somebody at least run it up the pole. But instead, Mike Morrell called, they want you to sign this paper, and they did, and it might have turned the election.
The fact that our now Secretary of State Antony Blinken was actually
organized it.
Behind all of this and trying to basically pass it off as Russian disinformation, that right there should be called. I don't understand why there aren't serious calls about him to step down right now. He should step down. He should absolutely get
the president?
No, the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Now Lindsey Graham is calling him in to speak to him.
And they've got this letter, and basically Jim Jordan is basically saying that, you know, they purposely tried to bury a story prior to the election. Okay? They accused Trump of doing the same thing, but his crimes are a lot less than this when it comes to burying a story that could have actually influenced the election. So that's election tampering, as far as I'm concerned.
Is
it not?
People who were polled about this have said, it's anywhere, depending on the poll, between 17% and 24% of voters who said they would have changed their vote if they had known that this was real. So it did have an effect on the election. It's like you contrast that with the Facebook, supposedly Russian disinformation that changed people's votes. Mm-hmm. You can't show a measurable difference for people whose opinions or votes were influenced by ads they saw on Facebook. But people who saw the way this was handled and Twitter suppressing the New York Post story, they say if they were in full possession of the facts, their vote would have been different.
So it's so interesting because that is really what Trump should focus on now. Lay out like he's smart to lay out. Let this be the narrative. Number one, I think there's a degree of panic within the Biden camp. Not only does he have 38% approval on Reuters, 42 overall on Real Clear average, but now you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. getting the race.
Yeah.
This stuff is coming out. A whistleblower is apparent. All of a sudden, the fall rollout is a Tuesday rollout, Julie Banderas.
And also, I love when you call me by my last fake name. So, first of all, the IRS, Banderas is fake. That's
what are you going to
use? It is?
Well, yeah. Oh, my God. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, let's switch gears quick. My last name is Bidwell. Banderas is just a TV name.
Oh, I thought that was your married name.
No. Hell no. That was Sansone, which
gross.
I purposely never
just
took
kidding.
It.
I didn't even think
horrible.
That's a gross name.
No, it actually is terrible. But anyway,
are you going to keep the fake name?
Banderas? Well, I'm kind of stuck with it, I think. I don't know. I'll talk to management and see if they don't mind me going back to Bidwell.
See, your whole life is television. You're like, I'll talk to management. I was just talking about so do people call you Julie Banderas, let's say, when you go to the Five and Dime to pick up moccasins?
No. No, they call me Bidwell. I go by Bidwell outside of this building. I can't believe you didn't know that.
No, I saw it. I thought that was a fake name.
No, Bidwell is – no, Banderas is a fake name. My sister actually named me. It's a really long story, but former news director in New York City wanted me to change my last name to appeal to the Hispanic
demographic
in New
York City. Isn't she J-Lo's
manager? No, but my sister actually brought up Lopez as an example because I could have been J-Lo. Then she said Banderas because I could keep my initials JB. Were we talking about
Biden? Are you Hispanic, though? Are you Hispanic?
I am. My mother's Colombian. Yeah. So then we kind of tried to pass it off as my mother's maiden name, which is actually not true. It's it was Rodriguez.
And what are you? You're Romanian?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was Russian.
By the way, I never want to let an opportunity to remind the world that Julie Banderas had a pre-Thanksgiving party that sickened 45 out of 50 people. And when I say sickened, I mean both ends for days. We caught something called COVID? Sapovirus, which is like norovirus,
yes.
Which is...
that brought down cruise ships.
That's,
and I don't mean actual cruise ships, but like hundreds
micro.
Of people.
In were you the carrier?
My daughter was.
Yeah. Your daughter was the infector monkey.
Was throwing up the night before my Thanksgiving Day parade bash that I used to throw every year because I live on the parade route. And Kennedy, among many others, were at the party. And within 12 hours, I think, of you leaving my house, I have photographs, actually. I'll send them to you at some point, of her two kids and her all laid out on the couch with trash cans beneath their faces.
But we weren't the only ones who sent those. Julie had like five pictures.
50.
Of
50
people. Did she express regret that this happened?
No, because I lost like 15 pounds. I never looked
I'm
better.
I'm still waiting for a thank you gift. Aren't you so glad you booked us?
Not yet.
It's cute that you thought we were going to actually talk about the topics you assigned us.
So, all right, let's forget about that. For one thing, I just think things are changing. I think by the middle of next week, I think things are moving. And a thing that I find most encouraging, sadly, is NBC, CBS, CNN are all covering it. Not the way we're doing it, but they're at least covering it. I had like CBS has a streaming, and so does ABC, has a streaming network that no one watches. So they're like rolling this for like 6-minute packages, which I think is kind of interesting. But something else is interesting. James Corden's last week of Late Night.
No one cares.
I didn't even know this was his last week. That's how little I care.
No one cares. No one's moved.
Can I finish?
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, Brian, as you were.
This was our show, I thought. I didn't know he was the host. Okay, go ahead.
Listen, I don't...
Don't give us
Julie,
too much time.
Okay,
we'll take
no, hot cougar bitches should be sidelined for your mansplaining.
I expect this for Julie, but like to interrupt me to say nobody cares is more than hurtful.
I thought that's what you were going
to
say.
So the carpool karaoke, I do think is pretty innovative.
I do think he's
very talented.
We did that on MTV at the Beach House in 1995.
Oh, is that true? Wow. What did
that
you do? In
true.
Cars?
Damn. Yes. It was called karaoke.
And by the way, do you know... Really?
Yep.
And how come no one said this before?
Wait, I've never heard that.
Because they're all a bunch of dishonest liars. And I'm sure people have VHS tapes lying around
Beach House. Was that before the dash cam?
Yes.
So do you have a shooter? Like, did you have a camera guy in the car?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you didn't have a lipstick camera in the corner?
No. I had lipstick all over my face.
Right. Nothing to do with that.
I was from Kissing Sailors in the green room.
Right. And they had the lipstick or you had it?
Well, right. We both had it after that.
Okay, understood. So do you know they're on a flatbed?
Oh.
Oh, yes. Sometimes.
I did not know. Oh.
No, sometimes. So he actually said that sometimes they do drive, but sometimes they don't. So
I know
dangerous.
You have to run. You doing outnumbered?
Oh, right. I forgot
okay,
about
no,
that.
Okay, no, don't leave
no,
yet.
No, but I have time.
Okay,
have time.
Yeah, don't leave yet. Here's a little of carpool karaoke, and I know you know this, but P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, whatever he is, unbelievably charming. Listen to a little of it.
How does baby number 7 happen?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's because I got back into music. So I started producing R&B again. And I have my a new record label called Love Records. Yes.
You think it's
the
music?
It's the baby-making music that I make. You know how, like, there's no more baby-making music? I had to make my new baby to, like, I had to go back and get old 90s music and make a playlist. To make
go on,
new
what's on the playlist? So I go home. I light a candle.
Mm-mm.
I put it on.
You have the red light on. No candle. It may burn down the place.
A red light?
Yeah.
What's a red light?
A red light. Like a red light bulb.
A red light bulb.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm an artist. Everything's
a screw in a red light bulb.
A light bulb, yeah.
I put the kids to bed.
Put the kids to bed.
Put that on.
Put it on.
And then it's just going to happen.
And the thing is, it's called off the grid, so there's no phones allowed.
Okay.
So you have to disconnect your phone and really... really lock in.
I don't use my phone a lot during lovemaking anyway, so...
I'm going to say during sex. This is a build-up.
This is a build-up.
Do you and your wife, y'all just go straight to it? You're going hot?
So it was just... I just found him with a great personality, down to earth, self-effacing. Your thought about that exchange?
I've known Diddy since the 90s, and I like him. I've always had a good time with him. I actually interviewed him for the cover of a music magazine, and it was... Bad Boy, Good Girl was the cover. It was me and Diddy on the cover. So I got to take a picture
That's
of that.
Awesome.
Post it. Yeah, it's pretty great.
He is a really nice guy. My sister was the executive producer of his reality show where they formed the girl band. So she worked with him for years, and he's great. I mean,
Because he comes off dark glasses, looks menacing, but he doesn't seem to be. I remember he almost invited me to the white party. Never actually pulled the trigger on that, but I'm sure, I think he ended it a little quick. But when I bring that up, do you notice how sullen Kennedy got? Do you not like your music days?
I love my music
days. Okay, because you got very quiet.
Best. No, it's because I'm doing a comedy tour with Jimmy Fallon, and we start May 6th in Reading, Pennsylvania, at the Santander Performing Arts Center. And a lot of my performance will be talking about stories from MTV.
Are you going to roll some clips?
No, I don't have any clips. There's nothing.
They didn't even have VHS tapes back then.
No, we had beta.
You had beta?
Yeah.
What about just film?
Right. They had
quarter inch and half inch.
Yeah, I remember those, yeah. Actually.
What was your question, young man?
I don't even remember. Oh, P. Diddy. Yeah, we both P. Diddy fans.
Right.
But I think it's interesting.
Not James Corden. I thought he was useful as teats on a bowl.
You did not like him.
No. I think the Balthazar story really drove me crazy because I believe that he was a diva and annoying and like, yes. Oh my God, my wife's eggs. There's six eggs. There's only supposed to be four. This is disgusting. This is disgusting.
It was some yolk that made it into the egg white omelet.
And that was his complaint?
Yeah. That's disgusting. Yeah. Right. It was because yolk made it into the egg white omelet.
She's allergic to yolk. She's not, but that's not right.
Yeah, like she said.
Is it like he's in the room?
Yeah.
You know what that sounded like? One of the kids from To Sir With Love. Remember that? Yeah. Dear Sir With Love. Is it Dear
To Sir With
To
Love?
To Sir With Love.
Yeah. Yeah, right. What I didn't like about that is that he took down the manager, the waiter, all these people that are serving him, and then he was allowed back. And the owner of Balthazar, or whatever it's called, should be embarrassed because he should never be allowed back in that restaurant.
Okay, that was an epic fail. By the way, I just tried to lighten things up.
I thought Diddy was wonderful. Right. No, I think we've had a wonderful conversation about it.
Let's try one more.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
The Crash Test Dummies?
Oh.
Okay.
Horrible band.
Listen to this.
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Is this a issue that you wanted to tackle and you're angry that someone beat you to it, Julie Banderas?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely would. I was always wondering, why don't crash test dummies have
breasts? Why are they men?
Why don't they have breasts? I mean, you know, seriously, like women who pose in Nike sports bras don't have breasts.
Right.
So why do we need crash test dummies with breasts?
Do you believe this is happening in Washington?
$20 million. Well, you know what? Pete Buttigieg doesn't do anything else as transportation secretary. So he had to come up with something. So he was like, ooh, yes.
He has the worst
female political crash test dummies.
He has the worst political instincts of anyone I've ever seen. And that's in the shadow of Hillary Clinton. Like, he is so bad.
Right.
He's dismissive
of a train crash
that could be deadly in East Palestine, Ohio. And now here, like, this is the hill you die on? You know, dummy boobies?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, this is someone with presidential aspirations?
Who went to Oxford?
Listen.
I went to Oxford for the weekend.
Right. Same thing.
Wait, let me just say one thing. His argument is that 73% of fatalities, or not fatalities, but accidents involve women. Well, I'll be honest, women are not the best drivers, so I'm not sure.
Wow.
I'm an amazing driver, but I don't know too many women.
You buck the trend.
I don't know many women that can parallel park like I can. Let's just put it that way.
Right, she's got a button, it just does it itself.
No, I parallel park like a beast. I could parallel park a 1962 Cadillac sedan.
Yeah, but you and I are like sisters when it comes to like me being better than everybody else. But I'm talking about most women.
Right.
Yeah.
This
we're not the average women.
From your perspective, I think this segment went really well.
I think it's I'm putting it on my reel.
Really? on your beta reel.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the only way to watch it.
Julie, go do Outnumbered.
Yeah, I gotta go.
And be one of the women.
Oh, yes, I will.
Be one of the women.
I will.
All right, and you stay.
Okay.
All right. Brian Kilmeade, don't move.
Don't have too much fun without me.
You can move.
Okay, bye.
Want even more, Brian? Download the podcast at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Every episode, exclusive interviews on demand. More of Kilmeade coming up. The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Kenny, am I the only one excited about 2024?
No.
To me, it's better than the NCAA tournament, even though it's so early.
I could not be more excited because here's the thing. Like, I don't understand why people get upset about presidential elections when their person doesn't win. I'm a libertarian. My person's never going to be president of the United States. I'm fine with that. But the rest of it, It's like, I know UCLA isn't going to play for the national championship in football, but I still love college football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still dislike Alabama pretty actively.
But this is where your analogy falls flat with me. Mm-hmm. If UCLA doesn't win the championship, mm-hmm. It doesn't affect China outstripping us for the number one economic and military power in the world.
A lot of helmets but if we and lose uniforms this, are made in China.
If
so,
America, if
you're
a
wrong, friend.
If a certain, that's a good point. But if a certain person loses the next election mm-hmm. or wins the next election, I believe that our American way of life has never been this threat.
Okay, here's the problem. You have people like Rob Reiner, hysterical people who run around every election cycle. It doesn't matter if it's the midterms or a presidential election. And they say every time, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And now people are completely apathetic and they don't care.
The only problem is, do you agree that this China threat with Central America, South America, the taking over Taiwan, the what's happening with their combination with Russia, Iran, is pretty unprecedented? Especially when you say almost every expert agrees that their economy is a threat to us, where the Soviets never
was. Their economy, so Russia's economy is in the tank. Everyone knows that.
But compared to the Soviets,
yeah, who stole land and imposed very harsh rule on my people.
Romania.
Then left, exactly, and came to the United States. One of the reasons I hate commies. But China's economy has not been growing at the rate that it was for years and years. The scariest thing is that China's economy will contract because they are so over-leveraged, because they're in bed not only with Russia, Saudi Arabia, South America, but also Africa. That's going to be too much for them, and they're going to pull the world economy down with them.
I feel better. I feel so much better.
Great.
Right. Did you make all that up?
I did not.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I could have.
But when do we watch your show?
7 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday on the Fox Business Network.
See you Saturday at 8. One Nation.
Download Fox News Channel's The 5 podcast for free. 5 of your favorite Fox News personalities discuss current issues in a roundtable discussion. Get it now on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.